You know, I got to tell you, there's a strong presence of the Lord in this place. It's wonderful. Can I have you look at me a second before I don't want to scare anybody, but God's going to do some things in the next few minutes. And hallelujah. We have some seats right in the front for two very special guests that are coming in right now. Just take them, Joshua. Yeah, either way, it doesn't matter. Let everybody clap for Jesus Christ right now. Hallelujah. This is Helen and her daughter Olivia. I've known Helen for many years, and the devil is attacked to try to destroy. And this young lady, this beautiful young girl, is going to be touched by God tonight. I'm convinced of that. They came by faith. They even told me, you know, we don't know how long we can stay. But I'll tell you what, when you're in the presence of Christ, you couldn't be in a better place. How many of you'd rather be here than any hospital in America? Just because he's here. No, I hope I didn't offend anyone. How many of you'd rather be here than in any hospital in America, right? Right? Right. All right, God bless you all for coming tonight. Again, there are more people on this Tuesday night than there were last Tuesday night. Last Monday night. Thank you. There are more people on this Monday night than we had last Monday night. The word is getting out, and I'm very humbled by that. Now what I'm going to do is tell you that the band and Brother Jonathan, all the music we heard tonight, people are gifted by God to do things musically, and it's very important. Men of God understand the power of music. I've always understood it. I got in a lot of trouble 30 years ago because I believed in Christian rock and roll and brought it to the Bay Area. Now, I've always believed that we have to have new music. The Bible says, sing to the Lord a new song. And I am convinced that even rap can be used of God. Wave your hand at me right now. Some of you that are older, if you wave your hand at me, God will heal your shoulder. So I believe God can use rap. See, I believe that most of your popular music came out of the church anyway. You look at Motown, and Motown is nothing but a band of ex-choirs. And so the Lord needs to steal it back, steal the rhythm back, steal the musical style back. And some people say, well, you know, it's too loud. Well, you know what? And they'll tell me, the Lord is not deaf. Music is so loud, God is not deaf. And I'll say, well, he's not nervous either. You're nervous, but he's not nervous. How many of you love it when young people get saved? I'm going to try this half over. How many of you love it when young people get saved? And sometimes God will use music to hit them right in the heart, straight to the heart. Somebody said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I want you to thank all who sang tonight for singing for you. And I'm going to dismiss the band and Eddie Zepeda, Pastor Eddie Zepeda. Come on, thank them for what they did tonight. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to welcome them back to their seats. And I want you also to clap for Brother Doug Morris, who's been on the keyboards every night. He's putting that bass away. One day, I got a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning. My ex-secretary didn't tell me I was going to get a 5 o'clock phone call. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not going to say why she was the ex-secretary. But it would have been all right if I hadn't gone to bed at 2 a.m. How many of you have ever had only 3 hours sleep? How many of you only had 3 hours sleep last night? A lot. I know. It's true. Sleep is becoming the luxury of the modern era. If you're getting about 8 hours sleep, you're either a billionaire or unemployed. Amen. I maybe would rather be a billionaire than unemployed. I'm going to get a reaction out of this group if it's the last thing I do. Thank you. But to prepare you to receive your miracle, and I want to get right to the point tonight. At 5 a.m., they called me. And they were calling from Miami, Florida. And I was live on a secular radio talk show. And I couldn't even remember my name. And when I woke up, I'm fumbling for the hello. How many of you have ever tried to talk normal when your voice is still asleep? And then we do this. Why do we do this? They said, did we wake you up? And we go, oh, no, you didn't wake me up. Sometimes I just like to say, yes, out of a dead sleep, you woke me up. But with a million listeners on the Florida coast on this really annoying DJ, he asked me, how did God allow all these Christians to go through this Hurricane Andrew? Horrible hurricane. It caused multiple billions of dollars. And he said, you know what? This hurricane came on the Christians and destroyed their houses just as much as the sinners. Now, why did God allow that? And so I put my hand over the receiver trying to be cogent, lucid, didactic. How's that? I looked that up today. I may have ever looked up a word, you just had to use it. So I just threw that out there. So I'm on the phone, and I said, God, help me. I don't know what to say. What do I say? And the Lord said, say, the foolish man built his house on the sand. I said, that's going to sound trite and cruel. And the Lord said, you don't get any more until you say that. The foolish man built his house on the rock and on the sand. And he said, that's it? I said, no. And he said, tell him that the wise man built his house on the rock. I said, this is still Sunday school, and I'm with a million people listening right now, sounding like a fumbling ignoramus from the backwoods. And so I said it, the wise man built his house on the rock. Is that what you're telling our listeners? You're giving us this trite little verse, and that's what you got to say? I said, God, you got to help me. And then the Holy Ghost downloaded it all. I maybe want to hear it. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I'm going to tell you what happened on that radio. There was a segment of the church that believed they could rebuke away storms at will. But if that were true, Christ never would have said to build your house on a rock. He said, build your house on a rock, because then the wind came, then the storm came, and it leveled everything. But the house that was built on the rock stood. Christianity was never designed to be pain-free. It was designed to be defeat-free. I'm going to get on this side right here. It was never designed to be painless, but it was designed to give us victory in everything. Somebody give God the glory. Isn't that right? Why be Christian if there's going to be storms? And I said to him, there's your answer, my brother. You need to be a Christian because there's going to be storms. If storms are coming, it's better to go through a storm with Jesus than without him. I'm not going to get enough help here tonight. I can see it. Go ahead and clap right now. It's better to go through a storm. You see, you're looking at what you're going through, but you're not looking at what it means to have Christ with you going through what you're going through. How many of you know we need Christ in our marriages? How many of you know we need Christ in our business? Amen. And I know most of all we need Christ in the ministry. You know, and I'm going to tell you that we who pastor and evangelize, we get discouraged. And there's something about us. We're supposed to tell the truth. When you study the career of Christ, you'll find these, if you did it as a graph, that he would have these elevating moments of popularity. And then Christ would have an oh no moment. And if you lengthen it out, would be, oh no, he did not say that. Then his popularity would begin to dive. Then the miracles would happen. How many of you know when you multiply fish and bread, it has an effect on the attendance? And now it starts to climb again. Then he has his next oh no moment. He said, oh no, he did not say that. And one of the most famous was when he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciple. And the disciple said, why do you say that? The whole crowd got up and left. And the difference between me, you, this man of God, and Christ is that our security is sometimes tied to the size of a meeting or an offering or the size of a ministry, when in fact that is all irrelevant. I don't get enough on it. Is it true? Is it relevant? I'm going to quit picking on you, okay? I'm going to quit it. It is irrelevant. Then I learned this phrase. Popularity is a line of credit to be used up in the act of telling the truth. When a minister is in danger is when he attempts to stop telling the truth for the express purpose of sustaining his popularity. What is destroying America is that we've got the same three choices for president every 4 years. Mo, Larry, or Curly. And by the time, how many of you still love me even though I say I'm going to try it again? We have the same three choices, Mo, Larry, or Curly. Because by the time they go through the level of corruption to be the candidate of that party, they are so compromised, they are so bought and sold that they cannot possibly tell the truth because there's a segment of their constituency that they're going to offend. I'm going to run around this room. Somebody say amen. Now, your love never fails. It never gives up, never runs out on me. We're supposed to be people who feel loved even when we don't feel skinny. We're supposed to be people who feel loved even when we don't feel that our bank account is big enough or we're not beautiful, we're not popular, we're not this, we're not that. When you have Christ, you have everything. Somebody give the Lord praise right now. When you have Christ, you have everything. You know that if you go to Marine World or Sea World or wherever they have killer whales, they have only one way to determine the age of a killer whale. Do you know that? They have to count the scars that whale has. So it's literally, its age is determined by what it's been through. Now this is the power of being a Christian. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Is that suffering makes us stronger. That adversity makes us more durable. And that everything that Satan throws at us becomes a new weapon in our arsenal for greater victory. Clap your hands, all you people. Here's my vote for one of the most spectacular moments in the history of the world. It happens in the first chapter of Luke chapter 10. You'll see it on the screen in a moment. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face to every city where he himself was about to go. That excites me because can you imagine the way the crowds were? If your advance men raise the dead, what is the main event going to be like?
Right. Come on.
You know, you walk into a village and you go, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, be delivered of demons, be resurrected from the dead. And I'm doing all this to let you know that we're getting ready for the arrival of Christ. And you wonder, what is it going to be when Jesus gets there, if his advance men have that kind of power? But you know, in a very real sense, that's what Pastor and I are doing. It's what Sonny Laura and I are doing. It's what Eddie Zepeda and Pastor Steve Rutledge and all of the other ministers that are here tonight. We are in advance of Christ. Somebody's coming, folks. No, I'm going to say it again. We got to preach on the second coming. There's going to be a day when the race war, the drug war, and the political wars all end. Back when I was a kid preacher, there was a guy from Korea called Sun Myung Moon. And he started the Moon cult, and the followers were called Moonies. So being from the ghetto, we had a term for mooning, what mooning was. So we wondered what kind of strange rituals they had in that cult. Now, let me tell you something. He believed that it'll get you in a second.
Did he really say that?
They needed to repent. Okay, that's really. But he said this. He bought full page ads. I don't know where he got the money. He made a ton of money in Korea, and he spent it on selling himself as the Messiah. He said, I'm the return of Christ. He bought a full-page ad in the London Times, New York Times, LA Times. He bought in every major newspaper of the world. He bought a full-page ad announcing that he was the return of Christ. And so I thought to myself, you silly little clown. Here's Jesus saying, I got to buy ads in the paper. When the Bible says his return will look like this. A single lightning bolt that flashes from the east to the west. And the sound of his voice. How many of you know he doesn't have to buy any advertising? Say glory to God. Come on, say glory to God. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send out laborers into the harvest. In a few minutes, miracles are going to break out in this room. But in the few minutes that I have, before they do, I'm going to put my popularity on the line. I'm going to use it up. I don't know if this isn't the last night I'll get to talk to you. So I got to use it up. We are not converting the lost. We're not. There's never been a more terrible season in church history in California. Since this place became a state, the Christian birth rate has never been this low. There's never been more overt animosity toward church as there is in the Silicon Valley right now. You go down to Santana Row, you go wherever you want here. There is such a smug intellectualism in this region. Just because you got an iPad, you got a brain, I don't think so. We built the electric this, the first that, the computerized this, the coefficiency. We got it all. And so if you believe in God, you're a moron. We've evolved beyond that. We're smart. We're better. Meanwhile, there's a denial in many, many Christians. They're still living in the era of Leave It to Beaver. And it's been gone. The songs you like, they've been gone. The way you do it, it's been gone. You just don't know it. Your little culture, you know it, But the world knows better. They're not listening to us. They're not going to listen to us. Some people have told me how amazing they think the attendance every night. I can't believe that after 3 weeks, that church is still full. And I go to my room and I weep because I know there are a million people that live in this valley. And I tell you what, I know for a fact it is the will of God for us to have an impact on the secular culture that is 10 times what we're having right now. I'm going to say it again. It's 10 times what we're supposed to have right now. And I'm going to tell you where the sin happened. Our nation turned away from God, redefined marriage, killed the innocent unborn, and took the blessing of God. Listen, we don't have a threat anymore of the Soviet Union destroying us. But we do have the threat of the misery index. You know, for all of our technology, I've never seen Americans more unhappy than they are right now. More miserable. More lacking in any sense of direction and purpose. They've got this stiff upper lip, like I am going to dog my way through this misery I'm in. But I'm going to tell you something. The church has a role that she has lost, abandoned, and needs to find. God wants us to return to the miraculous act of converting unsaved people to Christianity. Look, we got to convert them. We got to convert them. The year 2004 was not maybe that memorable to you for any reason. But in 2004, 1 million young black men left the church and became Islamic in the United States, mainly under the influence of Louis Farrakhan. So he wasn't joking when he talked about a million-man march. And see, I went to Detroit. I went to Hamtramck. I went to Flint to preach to young Muslims and find out what in the world's going on. And did you know that Islam was like perfect for them? It was perfect. They had animosity toward women. You don't think that's in the inner city? You're not listening to rap music. It's the most misogynistic, anti-woman music ever created. If you want to find out how to say something hateful about women, hire Snoop Dogg. Now, I'm going to tell you, I went there. Number one, they hate women. Number two, you're not going to believe this, but I know it. And I'll tell you, Sonny Laura will agree with me. Pastor Zepeda, he'll agree with you. We're out on the streets. We talk to people. I went into Flint, started talking to young, angry black men. Young men, what's wrong with you? Hate women. Number two, I feel guilt because I've got hate. You see, Mara, I want God, but I want my hate. I want God, but I want my anger. Christianity won't give me that because it tells me to forgive. Now, here comes Islam. You don't like America? Let me tell you, buddy, we don't like America either. You want to be down on women? We'll help you with that. You want to feel like you've lost the American dream? We'll help you with that. You want to keep your anger and your bitterness? And I stood there to preach to these young men in Flint, and I began to see, oh, God, what was the secret to reach them? And the Lord said, signs, wonders, and miracles done in the name of Jesus. You listening? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight I want to talk to you about the Lord of the harvest. He is, look at me, the Lord of the harvest. Say it with me. He's the Lord of the harvest. So I didn't preach against Islam. I didn't preach against Muhammad. I didn't preach to them about that. I began to talk to them about the fact of failure, that hatred is failure. You cannot hate until you've failed. You cannot love until you've been victorious. Love is the exclusive domain of the victorious. Hatred is the exclusive domain of the defeated. Love is something you aspire to. Hatred is something you give in to. And I looked at them and I said this. When Christ came to earth and he began to display his power, the words came out of my mouth. Listen to me, because you got to hear this. The words came out of my mouth that I had never spoken before. I had preached sermons, but nothing like what happened in Flint. And I couldn't believe that God began to move like that. I left, came back to Detroit, came back to Flint, and they started getting saved. Listen, when a young Islamic kid who was in a gang and he was addicted to crystal meth or drugs points to his liver and he says, I've been back to my doctor and my hepatitis C is gone. And he said, Muhammad did not do this for me. Christ did this for me. Hallelujah. Geneva Spears is a woman about 62 years old that's been on the streets of Flint for 30 years. She wrote me a handwritten note. That's how I ended up in Flint. She said, would you come to Flint? I don't have any money. Everything an evangelist wants to hear. Handwritten note, come to Flint. I don't have any money. I've been on the streets talking to young men for 30 years. I need someone to come help me. And Jesus said, go. And I went. And we began to fill these halls. One day the mayor shows up. The mayor of Flint, Michigan shows up with his secretary. And it was June 29th, and he said, today we are announcing in Flint, Michigan, that this is Mario Murillo Day. Every June 29th, because of the work you're doing with the young men and the change that's coming. You know what's going on in the Silicon Valley? The people who have nothing to say are screaming it, and the people who have everything to say are dead silent. We have the message this valley needs. I'm going to try it again. We have the message this valley needs. You believe that? Now I'm going to add one final piece to the story, and I'm sorry it's taking a little bit longer, but I want you to understand the importance of what I'm saying. God is going to convict every church in the San Jose area to come up with a plan to convert the lost to Christ. And if they don't, he's going to bring them under correction and even judgment. If there's a board member that doesn't want to win the lost, there's a board member that doesn't want a certain look, no tattoos, no Harley Davidsons in the parking lot, you're going to be passed over. If you say, I've got to have this kind of person or that kind of person, God is, he is the Lord of the harvest. You see, when the Lord began to convict me, you are the Lord of the harvest. Mara, you don't know how to win a lost soul. You do not know how to win the lost. You don't know how to do it. But I am God Almighty. I not only know how to do it, I've been out there working it. And I'm waiting for my church to join me out in the harvest. Hallelujah. The idea of witnessing terrifies me. That's because you don't know how much pain you're in right now. Church is not fun when it's all Christians and nobody gets saved. Church is not fun. I can't imagine anything more miserable. And I'm going to preach this just for the moment. The Bible says, pray the Lord of the harvest. And God gave me these words. Pray and obey for a harvest from the Lord. Pray and obey for a harvest from the Lord. I'm going to say it again. Pray and obey for a harvest from the Lord. The first evangelist who ever lived was Peter. The first evangelist who ever lived was Peter. And we're going to take him off and look at him. Hallelujah. The night he met Christ, was one of the most devastating nights of his life. For reasons that we cannot even begin to understand. We know that he had fished all night. That's not normal. How many of you know fishing all night? I'll tell you what. If he had caught something, he'd have gone home. His hands are raw. He caught nothing, so he kept at it. And he kept at it. And he kept at it. And I'm gonna mess with your theology right now. Sometimes your lack is not Satan. Sometimes God will dry up a well, stop a success, halt, and he's having mercy on you. Because the last thing in the world you want to do is be successful at something you're not supposed to be doing. Give the man of God an amen. And there it is. And all of a sudden, it's morning. They're folding the nets. Their hands are raw. I'm sure Peter is saying, I'm never going to fish again. I'm never going to fish again. And so Jesus said, fish again. And he tells him, let down the nets. Now, I said this before. I'm going to repeat it one more time. It's the only thing I've repeated this whole revival. My wife and I were divorced for 14 years. And the Lord supernaturally brought us back together. It began with a miracle in her and a miracle in me. And the miracle in me was that God said, I said, Lord, I've never been more miserable. Peter was miserable. He fished all night. Everyone in this room has had that dark night of the soul. Where no matter what they did, it didn't work. All of a sudden, Jesus says, put out to the deep. Launch your out into the deep. Let down your nets. N-E-T-S, four letters. Peter says, Lord, we fished all night, but nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down the net. He said, let down the nets. Peter said, I'll let down the net. The Lord said, do you really want to get over your dark night of the soul? Would you? I said, Lord, I'll do anything. And the Lord said, anything? And I said, pretty much. Pretty much. He said, pray for Michelle 1 hour a day for a month. The Lord was dealing with her in the same way. She's in Nevada. I'm in here in California. You know, when you start praying for someone, you start to see their side of the story. And it ended up in a glorious miracle. How many of you thank God? Now, it's been almost 8 years we've been back together. And happy. Can you praise him? Peter learned that Christ had ordered all the fish to hide in a cove. And when he let down the net, Jesus said, get in the net. And all the fish got in the net. That same Jesus is here in Silicon Valley. He's able to reach down in every people group. Regardless of color, regardless of money, regardless of their background. The church is the one that doesn't believe. Listen to me. I can't make somebody get up and walk who's paralyzed. I can't make somebody see who's blind. But it is a part of my ministry to see that. So why can't I do the math that the same God that does the impossible on disease will do the impossible among the unsaved? And bring them into the kingdom of God. What the board of the church needs to do is get alone with God and say, dear Lord of the harvest, what is your plan for our church to win souls? I'm almost done. Go to John chapter, I believe 21, is it? Is that what it is? Talk about deja vu. Everybody look at me. Deja vu. Jesus and Peter. Peter becomes the rock on which Christ will build the church. 3 years of ministry goes by. 3.5 years. Christ is crucified. Peter cashes in his chips. I'm going fishing again. Then deja vu starts kicking in. He catches nothing all night. Only one other time in his life this has happened. So he's having an eerie deja vu. So what happens? He sees Christ on the beach, but he can't tell it's him because Christ changed his appearance. And he asked them a question that God is asking every church in the Bay Area.
Have you caught any fish? How can you just go on and not catch fish? How do we do that?
You know, you're not going to like this, and somebody's going to say, you're real harsh. But our government is moving in the direction of banning Christian meetings. Because the birth rate of the Christians in the Bay Area is below zero. We're not even winning to Christ as many as have gone on to heaven. With less numbers of Christians comes less influence in policy, less influence in school, less influence in the media. And soon, what we take for granted could be gone in an instant. Already, San Jose has on its statutes. You know, you want to read something boring, read the master plan for the city of San Jose. The policies and ordinances for putting in buildings. They have more ways of, if a church tried to build a building right now in San Jose, they could be deflected for years by the most unimaginable matrix and meandering, talking about the environment, talking about traffic flow, talking about people group, talking about disturbing this and that. That's how it's coming in. Because there aren't men of God to stand in the middle of it and stop it. Now, Calvary Temple, look at me. You have a beautiful building. But without a harvest, it means nothing. Without a harvest, it is irrelevant. How do we get the harvest? Here it is. He is the Lord of the harvest. The worst mistake that the American church made was to wrest out of the hands of the Holy Spirit the administration of the church. It was not supposed to be a denomination. It was supposed to be a movement. It wasn't supposed to have politicians sitting in ivory towers deciding what a pastor can and cannot do. It was supposed to be men of God filled with fire in every city and building up that fivefold ministry in power so that the Spirit could flow in the prophetic, in the supernatural, in the authority. And so unity and joy. God has a plan.
Have you caught any fish? Jesus said, and Peter instantly knew it was Christ, and he was busted. And he instantly knew what he had done. He had buried his original calling because of the crucifixion of Christ under this grief and fell back to natural talent. That isn't the American church. I don't know what is. And so now he's caught nothing. So we invent ways of celebrating that we've caught nothing. We consider making a Christian leave one church and come over here to another church. We call that church growth. All of a sudden, Jesus says, throw the net on the other side. You've had the net on this side. There've been no fish in it. But this is our net. This is our denominational net. This is our traditional net. This is the net. This is the way we go to Bible school to learn how to throw the net on this side. And we throw the net on this side. We didn't catch any fish, but you don't understand. I'm the best net thrower in our denomination. I can throw a net like no other evangelist you ever saw.
And he said, but there are no fish in it. Well, you're not watching the right thing. You're looking for fish when you ought to be focusing on the flipping of the wrist, the moving of the net. Look how effortlessly and entertainingly that net goes into the water. But we haven't caught a thing. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have somebody throw a net that's rough, that's hard to understand, that maybe they don't have any finesse in throwing a net. But by golly, every time they pull it out, there's fish in that net. Somebody say amen. You know, I know some of you have decided you'll never like me again because of this. But how in the world can I look at Dr. Billy Graham, the one who's in heaven, Oral Roberts, the other amazing hero of mine, Catherine Kuhlman, never had a meeting without throwing the net on the side where the lost were. Couldn't stand it. Catherine would have died if souls didn't get saved. Someone asked me, what is the difference between this movement among youth you're seeing in Northern California and the Jesus movement you saw 30 years ago? I said, it's simple. Conversions. People got saved in the Jesus movement. You know, they got saved in Santa Cruz. They got saved. We had a Christian pizza parlor right down on the beach, Santa Cruz. We had coffee shops all over here. We had an outreach center, a drop-in center, a home for women, home for men. One time I had a manual. It was that thick. It was every Christian outreach center from the Mexican border to the Canadian border. Outreach, outreach, outreach. Throw the net. A man who was four square, became independent, was having baptismal services on the beach in Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, with 10,000 young people. And you know what the devil has said? This is how we get ourselves off the hook.
You just don't know how hard people are now. You have no idea how hard it is to convert people.
Well, I'm telling you about this man. Last night, sitting in a restaurant, a great man of God, who I was introduced to by Sonny Laura, began to prophesy over me in Original Joe's. I'm sitting there and I'm getting prophesied over. I get back to my room, I'm wrecked, I'm destroyed. I realize, looking back at the basics, the roots of who I am as a man of God, I'm a soul winner. 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 That's where the miracles come. Everybody, take your hands, raise it to God. Start praying in tongues right now. Rite moria tale de borata. Right, everyone, look at me one more time. How many of you still love me even though I preach what I preach tonight? Do you? This is the part that really is important. The healings are dependent on obedience to Christ's call to win the lost. The Lord will shut off the spigot of the gifts of God if he perceives for 1 minute that it is only for Christians to get yet one more blessing. If you say to Christ right now, I want to win the lost. I want to reach out beyond my own little world. And then you say, if you heal me, if you equip me, if you empower me, I'm going to carry it to someone else. Then the gifts of God will flow. Otherwise, they'll stop. Otherwise, I have to leave. If for 1 minute this becomes an all-Christian superstar event, God will tell me to go to another place. Just like that. And I'll be gone. I have to. How many of you would love to see souls saved? Raise your hand right now. Begin to pray in the language of the Holy Spirit. Begin with my children, O God. Begin with my children. Save our sons and daughters. Save them. Save them in the name of Jesus. Save them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I believe there's a strategy. I believe there's a revelation. I believe, oh God, that every church and every minister in America can get on their face before you, and you will tell them where to throw the net, and it will be filled with fish. Lord, I believe that right now. And I rebuke the lie from the pit of hell that the smugness, the sophistication, and the intellectualization of the Silicon Valley is some kind of a barrier to Christ. He's able. He's able. He's able to win the waitress and the billionaire. He's able to win the professor and the janitor. He can win them all. He can win the homeless and the billionaire. Lord, you are able. You are able. I'm going to say it again. You are able, oh God, to strike us with a passion for the lost that is so overwhelming. Say yes, Lord. Let me hear you 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 say yes, Lord. We will embrace your call. We will embrace your call. We will embrace your passion. We will embrace, oh God. We've had a long night where California, day after day, becomes more godless, more atheistic, more addicted, more broken, and more in debt. God bless us in California with a reversal of fortune. And Lord, let the trend be this, that we go to the Lord of the harvest and do what Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest, that he may send laborers into the harvest. God, deliver us. Once again, I'm not done praying. I need everybody to join me in prayer. You know, if I lose some fans tonight, good, because I never wanted any fans. I wanted friends. I never wanted any fans. I just wanted friends. Now, let me tell you, my friend, begin to pray right now. Begin to pray. Even if you have cancer, even if you have disease that is incurable, you listen to me. If you begin to pray, because God's heart is broken for the lost. God's heart is broken for this valley. God's heart is absolutely overcome with heartache for this valley. You know, the disciples didn't see what Christ saw. He said, I looked up and I saw the fields, and they are not unwilling to be saved. They are not unwilling to turn. The field is white under harvest, but the laborers are few. Lord, we see the vision of a field that can be won, a field that can be won, and a generation that can be saved. Pray in tongues right now. Pray in tongues out loud. Pray in tongues out loud. I know you love the Lord. You wouldn't be in church on a Monday night. Lord of the harvest. Lord of the harvest. Lord of the harvest. Satan, you don't control the lost. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord over East San Jose. He's the Lord over all the gangs. He's the Lord over San Jose State University. He's the Lord over Silicon Valley.
whether it be Apple or Google or Intel or Adobe or whatever company, IBM, you are the Lord of this valley. And this is the valley of decision. And Lord God, let there come a fire in our hearts to believe, to believe, to believe, to believe that a great and mighty outpouring of God will come on those that do not know you. Hallelujah. 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 Everybody in the room, just take a moment and look at me. My dear right there, would you take your hand, put it on her back for healing. For healing. Would you put your hand on her back for healing? Glory to God. Would everyone look at me for a moment? My brother right over there, Enrique, right behind you is a lady with her right hand up. Just touch her on the arm. Look at me, please, over here. Healing virtue in the name of Jesus. My brother, would you lay hands on this lady? Tonight, the healings are going to come out of obedience to the counsel of God. If we say yes, Lord, to the harvest, if we say yes, that we will pray the Lord of the harvest and obey Him in this, we're going to see a miracle. We're going to see a miracle. Would you take your left hand, place it on her right now? She's being healed, touched by God right now. No doubt in my mind. Can we obey the Lord tonight? Brother, you got ahead of me and I love it. You already have your hand on her neck. Pray. Pray. Would you help me, dear? Place your hand on her shoulder. Everybody give Christ the glory. Give Christ the glory. Glory to God. Everybody stand. Nobody leave, but everyone stand for just a moment. This band was not a band tonight. It was a weapon.
Absolutely.
And I thank God. I thank God. You know, we have no idea beyond tomorrow night what's happening. I have to assume that it is our last night. That it is the last night in this series. I have to assume that. But there are eternal purposes being inserted in people right now. I want every grandmother and every grandfather to listen to the man of God. You do not want this to be the world that you leave your grandbabies in. This is not what the world looks like that you had for them. You want revival. You want souls to be saved. We want people in high places to turn from their atheistic philosophies to Christ. It's got to come with a dynamic faith. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, teach me how to pray.
so that miracles come. Get rid of the prayer that doesn't work. The weak prayers. The ineffective prayer. And show me the way of victory on every level in my life. I know that there's more to me than just living a life. There's a reason I'm here. And only you know what that is. And I need to give myself to Christ on a level I've never done before. Because what is revival? But more of Jesus. More of Jesus in every area of my life. And now, Lord, you're looking for a voice. A voice that will speak out and a light that will shine where there is death, addiction, brokenness. You want that light to shine. And I want to be that light. I want to get over my fear. I want to get over my hesitancy. And I want to be that light. Help me, O God. Help me, O God, to be that light in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. How many of you be that light? If you will you clap your hands real loud? Come on, clap your hand. Glory. 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 Come on, clap real loud for the Lord one more time. One more time. Let it rise. I'm not going to have you stand but a moment longer, but I want all of you to stand just a moment longer. Last night, a young lady was healed by the power of God in this room, and she's right over here. And God touched this young lady in a powerful way. Now, I'm going to tell you, to see her back tonight is a thrill. Now, I look at her and I tell you, that's the model of this meeting. That young lady right over there is the face of the revival that Christ wants in this valley. God does not want Christians who are bored to somehow work up an old excitement. He wants them to repent and fit into the harvest. Now, because I believe you've done that, I want everyone who needs a miracle of healing to put your hand in the air. Everyone. Now, if you see anyone with an upraised hand, touch them on the shoulder. Touch them on the shoulder. Today, I wrestled with God alone in my room. And the Lord gave me this message. Mara, my heart is broken for the harvest in the valley. My heart is broken for the church that can't even see that their nets are empty. That are throwing the net on the one side over and over and over and over and over again. And he said, son, if you'll obey me and preach that word, then I'll heal people tonight. Because they'll see that supernatural power is tied to soul winning. They'll see that supernatural power is tied to the winning of those who don't know Christ. Right now, I'm going to promise you this. Tomorrow night, you're going to come back, and there will be reports of healings that happened right now. Right now. You see, tonight was a healing service, but God chose the most important disease to heal first, His church. and her condition before God. That's what he chose to heal first. Now that we've obeyed him, healing virtue can flow. Let it flow, Lord Jesus. Let it flow, Lord Jesus. Let it flow, Lord Jesus. Let it flow right now. Now, speak life over that person you're praying for. Speak life to them. Speak life to them. I believe that you're my healer. And I wonder, Eddie, Pastor Eddie, if we could sing that song. I'm not going to have the audience sing it. I'm going to have you all sing it. Audience, say these words over the person who's sick. In the name of Jesus, the power of God flows into your body to confirm the word, the rightness of the message. This was the word of the Lord, that we throw the net on the other side, that our churches become revival centers of evangelism, that we become places where the outsider is brought in and they are saved. Thank you, Lord, for healing this person, letting your healing virtue. Lord, right now, my wife and I, we just declare a miracle. I'm praying, y'all pray in tongues right now. Y'all pray in tongues right now.
And nothing.